Welcome to Texans on Tap, Episode 7. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan 975. Jack Brame is producing behind the scenes. Gents, every week we start the podcast by highlighting CJ Stroud, and I can tell you this week will be no different from throwing for 306 yards. Second straight week of no sacks allowed, no interceptions, throwing behind a makeshift O-line. How much of the success against the Steelers was Stroud just being great, and how much was on Bobby Slowick really putting his team in position to win with a very limited tool set?
Yeah, it was a pretty resounding performance, pretty much start to finish, against a capable Steeler defense. As you mentioned, back-to-back games now where C.J. Stroud hasn't hit the ground, at least in terms of being sacked. And if you combine that with no turnovers, and C.J. Stroud on that front is still pitching a perfect game, right? Four games into the season, for decades we could say the one quarter poll of the season, but now it's 17 games. So the 23% and change mark of the season for a rookie quarterback, for any quarterback to still be interceptionless. Ultimately, I give foremost credit to that for Stroud, but how, working with a rookie quarterback, can you not give Slowick some credit for avoiding perhaps some dangerous type route combinations where a quarterback needs to make a decision that perhaps he won't see a defender in a certain spot on the field? So that was the real wow. I mean, in part, you wonder how in the hell the Steelers won two games with what they showed in that, but the Texans amassing over 450 yards in offense with no turnovers, with no sacks yielded. That was awesome. And to just quickly go big picture, and as mentioned here previously, who in the AFC South scares you that you're thinking, oh, that's the superpower that the Texans can't possibly think about hanging around with them into December? It's a four-way tie at 2-2, and now the Texans get a month where they can win the NFC South, starting with Atlanta and then New Orleans and then Carolina and Tampa Bay, none of which make you go, oh boy, that would be much of an upset if the Texans win that one. So it's a brave new world and a pretty amazing Sunday on which the Texans had obviously the second most important victory in Houston sports.
Yeah, it's a new day for Texans fans. You've got yourself a quarterback. What felt so different for me is that first drive. I remember when Deshaun was here, they would hardly ever punch it in the end zone on the first drive of the game. And even when Kubiak was here, he'd script some great stuff, but so often you'd end up kicking a field goal on that first drive. What, the Texans scored like three times on that first drive because of all the penalties. Just incredible to see. Nice to see the running game get going, some screens. You mentioned Bobby Slowick. I think he's doing a fantastic job. It's creative. It's interesting. The pace of play is great. And CJ's doing everything he needs to do, not to mention keeping him from getting sacked the last 2 weeks with who they're running out of offensive line. Guys that haven't even been with the team are out there taking important reps. Just really great job by D'Amico. I love what I'm seeing as a Texans fan. You have an audience. They're watchable. They're fun. And Charlie mentioned the records. He has, what, the second most passing yards through his first four games in history. He's only behind Cam Newton. So you're seeing some fantastic things from C.J. Stroud. It looks like the real deal. This division looks winnable now with everybody at 2-2. And you look at their games upcoming. Charlie mentioned they're all from the same division. Look at those quarterbacks. Falcons, Saints, Panthers, Bucks. I'd rather have C.J. Stroud over any of those guys. So I would like to say I predicted the Texans to win this game last week on the podcast. I bet on it. That came in very handy for me. I just had a feeling with Kenny Pickett, Stroud's the better quarterback. So much of the NFL is who has the better quarterback. And with a great offensive coordinator, this team's going to be hard to stop.
Imagine if the Texans get a functional running game going. Right now, they again stayed committed to it, so the Steelers just couldn't play pass. And it wasn't awful, but bottom line is if you're under 3.5 yards per carry as the featured back, that's not good. And Dameon Pierce, 24 attempts to get 81 yards, but 24 attempts easing pressure on Stroud, who still threw for plenty of yards. You mentioned the over 1,200 yards in four games, but only 30 attempts Sunday, right? The completion percentage was pedestrian, 16 out of 30, but you mix in big plays, huge game. Again, Nico Collins getting Dalton Schultz involved a little bit more. You mentioned creativity. How about the wrinkle with the halfback option pass for the touchdown? So, you know, the arrow's pointing in the right direction. No one should think this is a finished product yet. And they'll probably lay an egg or two along the way. Those NFC South teams are probably thinking, well, hey, we're getting to play AFC South teams. So here's our chance to get well and stay in our division race. But the quarterback non-gauntlet that the Texans face this next month, starting with Desmond Ridder, who just hasn't been very good for the Falcons, QBR near the bottom of the league. And, you know, game situations can dictate this. And the 49ers are way better than any team the Texans have faced. You know, well, the Steelers scored 7 against them. And against the Texans, it took them deeply into the game to get to 7 points. But Desmond Ridder, followed by maybe Derek Carr pending health, followed by maybe Bryce Young pending health, followed by whoop-de-doo, Baker Mayfield. So piggybacking on Josh, right, it's the first time since it went haywire with Deshaun Watson that the Texans are lining up that you'd say it's even competitive at the quarterback matchup. And now in the pregame breakdown, you'd say check mark for the Texans more often than not. And 4 games into his career, that augurs so well for not only the potential of this season to be this year's last to first division team, which happens more often than not in the NFL season to season, but obviously long-term, big picture, and guys wanting to play with the Texans quarterback. And so D'Amico Ryans, you know, you're not going to be coach of the month for going 2-2, but all in all, what a start.
Well, the fact that they were able to get no sacks on CJ against a team that's really known for getting pressure on the quarterback. And I think that's even more exemplary when you point out that they really didn't have a great running day, but Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary seemingly did enough where Pittsburgh had to respect the run. And shout out to CJ, who just was getting the ball out on time, which is a really, really important thing when you have such a weak O-line the way they do. They did just enough to buy CJ time to be able to make some throws. And while he wasn't as accurate as he was last week, boy, the passes that he did connect on were beautiful. Just really some beautiful thrown balls that we saw. Now, on the other side, on defense, Texans were able to keep Pittsburgh out of the end zone, hold them to 6. Kenny Pickett looked uncomfortable all day. Guys, what stood out for you specifically on defense?
The Steelers' offense is just inept. Before Pickett gets knocked out on a 4th down call, and hey, a John Grenard sighting with the sack, right? We've been wondering who can step up and apply some consistent pressure or impact opposite Will Anderson on the other end. But Pickett, 114 yards, and then you go to the bullpen, and this Mitch Trubisky, right? The Steelers at quarterback look like the Texans have looked at quarterback for the last 3 years. You really think you're going to win with this? Najee Harris, 5 yards per carry, but you pop a couple with only 14 carries when your offense isn't sustaining anything, and that's no big deal. So credit to the Texans defense. You keep a team out of the end zone, you're winning. But my God, if Blitzburg is going to be MIA, and J.J. Watt had about as much impact on the game, much less the halftime excitement, as T.J. Watt, that was just a pillar-to-post beatdown. You know, that little window at 16-6 with the Steelers with the ball, but then they can't convert a 4th down, and the Texans go put the game away. It was just an awesome Sunday all the way around. And still, you know, no Derek Stingley in that secondary, but they now have a legit NFL roster, right? There'll be depth questions, and as they incur other injuries across the season, but no Tunsil on the offensive side of the ball, no Stingley on defensive side of the ball, and basically no hiccups for the Texans since.
Yeah, there were a lot of great moments and great flashes from the defense. Steven Nelson's been playing great. He got a big interception on Sunday. He's looked like a top-tier corner this year and going back to last year. They made the right call.
Mike Tomlin about it.
Yeah, good point. He wanted to come out and show, and getting your starting safeties in there, I think, was huge. Having Petrie back this week, and you got Jimmy Ward back the week before. I like the way they handled T.J. Watt. They ran at him a little bit. They chipped him. They had a lot of different answers for how to slow down T.J. Watt. And then on the other side, Will Anderson was getting a lot of attention. You were seeing they had some answers for him as well. And he had what would have been the fumble recovery touchdown, but that got called back. But Jonathan Grenard stepped up, 2 sacks on Sunday. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from the defense. And one more thing on CJ, we keep talking about all these completions without interceptions, and that's great and all, but why it's so much more impressive with him is they're not hiding their quarterback. This isn't a team that relies on the run game, and he hasn't thrown interceptions because they don't throw that much. This is CJ's team. They win games by throwing the football, and for him to be protecting the ball that well this early, really impressive.
I mean, in the end, right, winning is what most endears you to the fans. But C.J. Stroud in the postgame press conference on Sunday, if you could score an A++, right, hitting every note about it's been bad around here and we want the fans to have pride repping the jerseys the same way that we do. You know, we're all in this together as a city, and I'm falling. I like that he said, I'm falling in love with this city little by little. Right? He's been here a very short period of time. So, you know, it would come across as a little disingenuous. It's, I feel like I've been here my whole life. I'm a Houstonian. It just could not be a better maiden voyage to this point. And let's throw in also on CJ Stroud. And there's a lot of rumor and gossip in the whole run up to the draft. But remember, there was that one undercurrent of, well, aptitude, that alternate to the Wonderlic test where CJ Stroud supposedly scored miserably. Well, anyone questioning his aptitude and decision making, you know, apart from the physicals, and that he's obviously much more stout than Bryce Young and more developed than Anthony Richardson. You know, knock on wood, the injury, of course, or something else that goes off the rails. But they seem to have a class act built for the long haul, right? Deshaun Watson seemed on that path. And then maybe this time the Texans finally have their 10-year quarterback.
Just a little more on CJ here. He is now the favorite offensive rookie of the year currently on DraftKings Sportsbook. He's the favorite to win it. We're seeing LeBron James going on social media to defend Stroud and kind of tell people, hey, look at what he's doing. I told you he was going to be a player. So you just hope they can keep this going early on. I don't think we could have asked for much more as Texans fans. CJ looks like the real deal. The receiving core, which we thought was going to be a, you know, maybe a weak part of the team. No, Nico's been great. Even see John Metchie out there catching passes. Not a big day for Tank Dell, but it didn't matter because as Nico had a huge game. So looking great, D'Amico, Bobby Slowick. Keep it going, guys. And that, what was it, 6.5, the win total for the Texans before the season started? I think they get there and then some.
When you have a defensive-minded head coach, you think, okay, you know, the defense will be good, and maybe the offense, as thin as they are, will be able to eke out some wins here and there, doing just enough. But you really are seeing a really good balance. They're very well coached on defense and offense. And Charlie, to your point about the presser, I was really impressed with CJ Stroud just kind of running down the list player by player, kind of shouting out the players who performed well and kind of players he may have missed with passes and say, I owe them one. I thought that was a really awesome presser, just really impressive young man all around, both in performance and his poise as a young player in the NFL. Speaking of CJ Stroud, I imagine one of you two might pick him up for your player game. Who are your players of the game?
Well, as I think I said a week ago, and anytime they play well, since Stroud's the straw that stirs the drink and the most important player and excelling, he's so easy to tap. But I'm going to go with stringing together big-time games, Nico Collins, right? He was a Nick Caserio trade-up guy to take in the third round. And, you know, he's been dodgy with performance and health issues. Well, so far, so very good in 2023. And what do you go for? 7 and a buck 68. Big target in the red zone and also big play capability. You know, it'd be a stupid leap at this point to be thinking, hey, Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, you're looking at a challenger on the Texans' all-time greatest wide receiver list. But you know what? If Nico Collins evolves into where he's a legit bronze medalist in the Texans' wide receiver Olympics, that would be just fine.
I'm going to go with a group, the offensive line in totality. Going against Pittsburgh and not letting CJ get sacked one time. And with guys that were coming in early in the week that hadn't been on the team and some of them had to play. So just great job by the O-line of communicating and stepping up in a big, big situation.
So easy to tap. I see what you did there, Charlie. That's going to be it for episode 7 of Texans on Tap. We're going to do an early review of Texans Falcons in tomorrow's episode. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Texans.